What's up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I am your host, Justin Michael. I was fortunate to catch up with Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. I really appreciate him hopping on with me last minute. Obviously, we had huge news this afternoon, and that is that Nico Medved has agreed to a five-year contract extension with CSU men's basketball. Technically 7 years, because there are a pair of optional years that either side can exercise. With this raise, he's getting a substantial bump in pay, going from about $1.15 million to $1.7 million for this next season. It will escalate with each season if he is still around. By that sixth and seventh year, he'll be making $1.95 million and $2 million per season, respectively. This is a really significant investment into the Hoops program. It is a recognition of what has been built and established under Nico Medved. You look at what he's done here, six seasons, four 20-plus win campaigns, two NCAA tournament appearances, the first NCAA tournament win over the last decade. Also had a Final Four appearance in the NIT, of course. Highest ranking in school history, highest ranked win since 1984, both on and off the court. They have just represented the school in such a terrific way. Here is a quote from the press release from CSU with a quote from Nico Medved. "My family and I are so thankful to be a part of the Colorado State men's basketball program in Fort Collins community. I want to thank University President Amy Parsons and Interim Director of Athletics John Weber for believing in me, our program, and what we have built in these past 6 years on and off the court. Their commitment to the men's basketball program continues to help push us forward in the ever-changing landscape of college athletics. I look forward to many more nights of Mopey Madness and the support of the Colorado State community in the future." We also have a quote from John Weber. "The culture of success Nico has built around our men's basketball program is undeniable. Not only has Nico built a winning team, but the high-character student-athletes and staff he recruits and develops here in Fort Collins are significant. Additionally, continuity in program leadership is incredibly valuable to maintain the tremendous positive momentum behind the program, and we are thrilled to be able to keep Nico, his wife Erica, and daughters Allie and Taylor at Colorado State. As we have seen time and time again under Nico's leadership, our fans in Fort Collins have elevated Mopey Madness to another level, and the long-term commitment we have made to Nico and he has made in return to CSU is a direct result of that increased level of interest, community support, and program-generated revenues." Just kind of going off of what was said in that press release from John Weber, to me, it feels like they believe this could be really just the beginning for this program. If it's going to reach the heights that it potentially can, though, continuity is obviously such a massive factor, and that's something that I have been talking about on the podcast for multiple years now. For all of the cynics, for all the critics that were so furious about CSU and felt like we underachieved over the last couple of years, I've repeatedly encouraged people to go look up San Diego State at the beginning of Steve Fisher's tenure, and then even see, like, as he begins to get it rolling, how it kind of ebbs and flows. There's a process of kind of breaking through and becoming a team that regularly makes the NCAA tournament. And then the next level is becoming a team that can regularly win an NCAA tournament and win conference championships and all of that. It doesn't happen overnight, though, especially at schools that historically have not had a ton of success. And when you look at CSU in the grand scheme of things, this is not a school that has had very much success when it comes to basketball. I mean, this past season was one of the most, if not the most successful season in at least the 21st century. I really, truly believe this. There's no reason that CSU can't do what San Diego State is doing, be a school that invests in football but competes at a really high level in basketball as well. It takes the right coach. It takes timely investments from the institution. And I just applaud CSU for being aggressive here and, you know, really getting Medved a significant raise. Now, if a school like Minnesota were to offer $4 million a year or something like that, he's still probably gone. I mean, there are certain numbers that CSU is just not going to be able to match. That said, I mean, you're getting him to a place now where it's a highly competitive salary across the country. I mean, it's more than the majority of the football coaches are going to make in the Mountain West this year. He certainly earned it, but obviously with that increase in investment comes an increase in standards and expectations. And you know, this is going to be a point now where you're going to expect CSU to be perennially, you know, one of the top two or three teams in the Mountain West, because with this type of investment, that's what you should be hoping for. Exciting times at CSU. We're going to move on. We're going to get to that conversation with Kevin Lytle. Really appreciate him hopping on with us. But real quick, trucks have always been a part of Toyota's DNA. For generations, Toyota has built durable legends destined for greatness and perfect for Colorado. Whether you're conquering off-road trails or hauling the weight of the world, there's a Toyota truck that's just right for you. Maybe it's the all-new 2024 Tacoma or the return of the iconic 2024 Land Cruiser. Toyota offers 17 different models with all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive capability like the Epic 4Runner. They also offer more low and zero emission vehicles combined than any other automaker to give customers numerous choices to reduce their carbon footprint. There are 16 different hybrid vehicles to choose from, like the Tundra iForce Max hybrid truck. Not to be outdone, Toyota SUVs take command on the road and on the trail, so you can explore the road less traveled without sacrificing smooth city rides in SUVs like the RAV4 and Grand Highlander. Toyota is a proud partner of CSU Athletics and the official vehicle of DNVR. Game Time is now an official authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. Witnessed a couple of my buddies do this in the wild for the Rockies home opener. We were all hanging out downtown at the Ice House, and they decided, you know what? I do want to go to the game. I know that's a terrible team, but I love hanging out at Coors Field and having a beer. They all hopped on the app. They got a great deal. And that's what Game Time does. They just make it convenient to buy tickets last minute. You can save up to 60% buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. What's great about Game Time is they've got all kinds of options. They've got flash deals. They've got zone deals. They've got all-in pricing, which features the total upfront. You're not going to get hit with a bunch of surprise fees at the checkout. And with the lowest price guarantee, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference if you can find a ticket in the same section, same row for less. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. All right, we have big time news. Nico Medved has agreed to a new long-term contract extension with CSU men's basketball. I had to get Kevin Lytle on the pod to react to it all. I think much like myself, he's just relieved to finally have this done so we can move on with our lives. But what was your kind of gut reaction when you saw this? I know you expected it. You teased it out on social media and all that. But I guess just what's your reaction to this new five-year extension for Nico Medved with the ability to opt in to a sixth and seventh year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, we kind of thought it was going to be going in this direction, especially once, you know, I think West Virginia and then Oklahoma State, once those didn't happen, then it was seemed pretty certain that Medved would be back at CSU. Obviously, there was, you know, some continuing rumblings in the, or, you know, roller coastering in the coaching carousel, but seemed like this was coming. You know, we knew CSU kind of been working on a possible extension for a while. So it made sense, but yeah, just having it done and out now is good in a lot of ways. You know, from the from our selfish perspective, yeah, you can kind of truly start to look forward now and say, okay, here's, you know, we know for sure that this is the case moving into next year. And then, you know, for the program, it's good too. I doubt it's a full coincidence that this happens right as CSU is in the midst of a very important recruiting visit week, really. You know, you can tell all those players who are on campus or coming to campus, like, hey, that guy's going to be here. So, it makes sense, you know, in a lot of ways. And I say good for CSU that you just know, and it's a big step forward for that program. Amy Parsons and John Weber took a pretty big swing here, I would say.
Are you surprised at how big of a swing they took here? I mean, I think his base salary was supposed to be about $1.15 million. I know he gets bonuses for various things, so it probably would have been more than that in terms of what he was actually bringing in for the season. But as you reported, $1.7 million for this first season, and it's going to escalate, you know, each year can get all the way to $2 million by that seventh season if they were to exercise those 2 years and if they don't have a new deal by then. I kind of have a... If he's still here at that point, he's probably either as an extension or something. But I mean, that's basically football money.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jay Norvell, I believe, was 1.7 this past season, will be 1.8 million next season. So it's pretty much on par with Jay Norvell. And yeah, CSU's never been close there, really, in football to basketball money. So that's a big step forward. Now he's number two in the Mountain West in coach salary, I believe, ahead of Alford, behind only Dutcher, who obviously went to a national title game. So it's a big investment. There's also this contract says basically just over $500,000 added in operating budget for the program for next season, and another $375,000 for the season after that. The news release from CSU said, you know, that will come from fundraising, ticket sales, and other program generated revenues. But basically, that, you know, operating budget is kind of a vague, nebulous term that can be applied in a lot of different places. But that tells you that they are trying to make a commitment to be a high, high level basketball program. And, you know, it's not just coach salary. It's a big investment across the board. So yeah, I want to say I'm shocked, because, you know, Medved has always kind of said this of, you know, if you think you're just stagnant in a place where you can't get any better, you don't stay. And this shows that CSU is trying to, you know, take another step or steps forward.
What are the kind of next moves, just in your opinion? I mean, obviously this is kind of like speculation, but if I had to guess, it would be Moby renovations in some form or another.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing Moby conversation of, you know, whether it's adding some, you know, I think luxury boxes or that type of thing is probably the most realistic thing. You know, it's not completely outlandish to think of, you know, a potential talk of like a rebuild or whatever, but that's obviously a bigger project. I know the CSU brass in Dayton was kind of observing that arena because it has a lot of similarities. I believe Dayton, kind of similar, Moby was built around the same time and then they sort of redid it. But it had some nice, I think, feasible seeming, you know, kind of luxury box areas on the baselines or above the baselines, if you will. So I wouldn't be surprised if that discussion is coming. Because, you know, luxury boxes, for lack of a better term, could add, you know, be a revenue stream if you can sell those at a pretty high price. So wouldn't be surprised if that's happening. You know, operating budget, like I say, that to me, that seems thing, you know, it could be things like increased ability, you know, to travel for recruiting or whatever, things like that, potentially more charter flights in season. You know, and CSU does a pretty high number of those compared to Mountain West teams, but it might be even more now. So things like that. So yeah, I think it's, again, more than just salary. I think there's investment across the board. And yeah, I think the next conversation might be Moby.
It feels like an exciting time to potentially really invest in hoops, just with the traction the Mountain West has had. I mean, there have been people that have been kind of pushing for this for a long time now, just, you know, hey, maybe. It's not saying that you should avoid football, because obviously football is a moneymaker, but I don't know. I've long felt that like this is a pool where you can be competitive in. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like you're trying to swim with like sharks that are so much bigger than you, like you are in football. I know the disparity in resources is still there, but I don't know. It's exciting. Like this could be, I mean, you know, the potential of something pretty big here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just like you said, the structure of basketball makes it more feasible for a CSU type school to win big. I mean, obviously, everyone always wants to cite Gonzaga. I'll cite them too. Of, you know, if a school like that can do it, why can't you? Obviously, I'm not saying CSU is or will be Gonzaga, but there are programs. I mean, if CSU can be what San Diego State is in basketball right now, that is. And why isn't that feasible, I guess, is kind of my answer. So, yeah, I think it's a big swing. And like you say, everyone, you know, people like to, you know, go, oh, basketball school. It's like, I get why people say that. Well, not obviously, in theory, you want to be in everything school. If you're CSU, you need to be in everything school, because football, you know, needs to be successful and drive money that will help basketball. But why not take a big swing in basketball now? There is risk. I mean, there's a lot of money being invested, and you know, the money involved here means, you know, you're not a plucky little program anymore. It's time to be a big dog.
You're so damn good at this, man. Like, you just took it exactly where I wanted you to go. Had my answered the follow-up before I could even throw it out there. We'll get right back to that conversation with Kevin in just a second, talk a little bit of CSU football. I'll get his thoughts on all the drama of late with Justice Ross Simmons. Real quick, though, I just wanted to talk to you guys about becoming a DNVR diehard. You get 20% off of all events, 20% off merch. You get a free shirt or hat every year when you renew from the DNVR locker. You get access to all of our diehard level content. You can talk to us in the Premier Discord, which is only for DNVR diehards. It is a ton of fun. I really cannot recommend it enough. You get 15% off your entire bill at the DNVR bar. It's awesome. Sign up now at thednvr.com. I also want to shout out our homies over at Breckenridge Brewery. Breck Brew has been with us since the very beginning. There's no better way to do anything than having an ice-cold Breck Brew in hand. They've been doing it for over 30 years. It all comes down to their love and passion for making good beer. Me personally, I'm a big Breck Avalanche Amber Ale guy. You should come have one at the Broncos DNVR Draft Watch Party on April 25th. RK is going to be there. Hank's going to be there. Super Bowl 50 champion Todd Davis is going to be there. Your boy is going to be there. It's a lot of fun. Check out the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but just before I let you go, there's been a lot of drama, obviously, on the football side of things these last couple of days. A lot of he said, she said, depending on who's involved in the arguments and conversations and all that. I guess just I'll just put it. I've already kind of said what I've heard, but I'll just throw it to you. Like, what have you heard regarding this Justice Ross Simmons situation, and what are your feelings on it?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, a lot of ways I kind of sympathize on all angles here. You know, obviously at the end of last season, or, you know, sometime in December, I think it was, Justice Ross Simmons and Brain Fowler Nicolosi both kind of, you know, put out recommitment graphics, if you will, to CSU, which obviously you don't have to work hard to realize that means that they were being tampered with. And that was their saying, you know, no, I'm staying at CSU, not taking those. But we also know tampering doesn't end. I have heard that schools have been reaching out to Justice Ross Simmons. Would be stunned if that's not true, because, you know, all talented players have schools reach out to them. And, you know, for a young kid, that can be tough. I sympathize with these kids, and that's gotta be very hard to ignore just people doing that, you know, whether it's them calling your high school coach or whatever, and that coach calling you saying, hey, I heard from whoever, you know, whoever is promising this or that. It's hard to ignore that. It's hard to know what's true, what's not true. Obviously there, you know, a couple guys like Lewis Brown, Marshawn Oxley, Justice Ross Simmons was close with, they're no longer on the team. And then from the CSU side, yeah, I think, pretty clearly Norvell seemed to think there was a, you know, potential lack of commitment to the team and wanted to move on. He kind of hinted that players were somewhat involved in the decision. You know, obviously, like you said, there's some, he said about timing on this and who ultimately made the decision. Frankly, I don't know that that really matters. It's, you know, it seems pretty clearly that one way or another, a relationship was broken there and a split was coming. So, you know, who did the final, you know, wave goodbye? I'm not sure that matters that much, but it's a tough situation. It's in a lot of ways, I think, an example of the current reality of college sports, especially college football. And, you know, from just the football side, I think Justice Ross Simmons is a very talented player who will be successful and has all the potential in the world. CSU will miss what he can do on the field. But I also think that, especially at that position, this offense, they'll find guys that can play and have guys that can play. And I don't think it's necessarily going to be a big change in the scope of the season for CSU. So it's just a complicated, ugly thing that everyone kind of has their own version of the truth that they probably interconnect in some ways, and no one's going to agree with the other side on other parts of it.
Well said on all accounts. You know, I like breakups in work relationships and personal relationships. It's everybody has a side. Everybody wants to paint it as black and white. It tends to be gray in actuality. And I'm with you in terms of the depth of that room. I mean, yeah, especially because you also lost LB, that stings, but
yep,
you've got Goffney back. You bring in a veteran in Donovan Ollie who has a very similar skill set to Justice Ross Simmons. Like, I don't think it's the end of the world. And you've got a lot of young guys that you can lean on. It wouldn't shock me if they add another veteran receiver between now and the start of the season. Like, I mean, yeah, it's kind of the way the game works now, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's different situations, but obviously we're seeing, like, on the men's basketball side, basically it'll be a whole new roster next season. Like, this is kind of just what it is. You sort of don't know what the roster is going to be until, you know, especially in the football sense, you really don't know what it's going to be until school has started next August, because there's just so much change. I mean, the portal opens Tuesday. I would kind of think there will be more CSU players in the portal after a spring game. And again, some of that will be guys that, you know, may think they can move up and be trying to do that. And there will probably be other guys that have kind of been told they probably don't have playing time ahead of them and they should move on as well. So there's just a lot of movement in college sports these days. And yeah, I think you're right. I would expect CSU probably go portal hunting for a receiver as this window opens. So again, complicated, you know, obviously a lot of different feelings on all sides, but tough, odd situation, but kind of one that happens these days.
Last thing I want to ask you, we obviously got the spring game coming up on Saturday. Just what are you kind of looking for? Like, are there any position groups in particular that you're keeping an eye on? Do you have any big question marks in terms of, like, I want to see how they stop the run, or like, I want to see how they, you know, handle the pass rush? Just what are you looking for?
Yeah, a few things. Hopefully the cornerback room is pretty healthy. You had a few guys missing in Saturday's scrimmage, but I would like to see, you know, the guys that will probably play there, if they, you know, can go in a full scrimmage, see how they do. And then, yeah, kind of the one offense, how do they click and move, you know, especially with some of these changes. You know, Torrey Horton's missed some time. I would think he'll probably get some reps in the spring game, but then, you know, there are a lot of young guys that will get them behind him. And then, yeah, how that one defense looks. And I'm particularly excited to see Boom Jock and see how he plays. He's going to be the Mike now. It seems like he is really surging forward, and I'm pretty intrigued by what he can do in the middle of that defense.
Came on strong. I mean, had that really nice game against San Diego State last year. Seems like
he has all the athletic tools. Yeah.
I'm excited. It'll be interesting to see. Kev, thanks for hopping on. Everybody, make sure you subscribe to the Coloradoan, best local newspaper in the state by far. Kevin does killer work. That alone is worth your subscription. You're the man, dude.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoken a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet, like a middle school slow dance. No one knew how to lead, but I'm still thankful for these days. They put a smile on my face.